This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, hello, East Texas, and welcome to In Focus. I'm Jeff Rourke, host of the morning news each weekday from 6 to a.m., along with Melissa Kaiser. Glad to be with you on this Sunday morning, and I have a special guest in studio. She is Laurel Maynard, president of the Smith County Young Republicans. Laurel, good morning.
Hi.
We'll go first things first here. How about that? Let's talk about your organization, the Smith County Young Republicans. What is the purpose of your group?
So our main goal is to educate and inspire, encourage today's generation to be more involved in politics and really just give everybody the tools that they need to make, you know, the best decisions about what happens next in our county, our country, and all that other fun stuff.
And we certainly are voting on all those things. And,
yes.
This year, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
What made you personally want to be a Republican?
So I came into it, kind of inherited it. I've been going to Republican events with my parents since I was very, very small. But especially when COVID happened, I'm sure a lot of people got more involved back then, which was true for me as well, that, okay, the world is going a little bit insane. Let's go talk to some other people and see what maybe we can do to make it better.
Well, listen, is there any particular issue or even a collection of issues that that concerns you most today as a voter?
I mean, as a voter, I am always pretty worried about what's happening locally versus, you know, I can't change very much that happens on a national level. But when it comes to who's going to be, you know, leading Tyler, leading Smith County, all of that really does. It really is something that I can make a difference in. And I think it's something that not enough people my age are really aware of.
You know, that's a very interesting take. I mean, we see all the time the numbers that tell us that voting at the local level is, you know, very, very low.
And yeah, absolutely.
We tend to get a lot of headlines and a lot of voters that, that sign up during the four-year elections.
Yes.
So it's interesting to hear you say that, you know, and you're right. I mean, that's the area where we can affect the most change. In fact, I see some of these local primaries or local elections are often decided by a dozen votes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, for folks who wonder if they could make a difference, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it really does make all the difference. And I mean, just being able to work with a lot of our local elected officials, realizing how much they affect our actual day-to-day lives, that really just makes all the difference.
Sure, sure. Now, obviously, young Republicans, is there a particular age bracket that you're going for then?
We're 18 to 40 for our official members. We also have associate memberships available for those who want to support us but are outside that range. Really, we just want to be a resource to anybody that's interested. But, you know, there's a lot of issues that I think younger folks are a little worked up about that might need their own voice.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned outreach. How do you all go about reaching out to the community?
Well, we do our regular monthly meetings, and we always post those on Facebook, encourage all of our friends and family to share them. And then, of course, our big one right now is we are preparing our America 250 birthday bash.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be at the Brookshire Conference Center on July the 11th. This is a free event. We're going to have food trucks, live music, historical actors,
nice.
Displays from local organizations. And I think it's really going to be a fun time.
Now, is there any charge to attend?
Nope.
No, okay.
No, free event. This is 250 years, and it deserves a party.
It does, definitely. Yeah, obviously a very, very big anniversary. In fact, I'm old enough to remember the bicentennial when I was in grade school. So, been a little while. Yeah, so, okay, now let's talk about something else here. In this age of Donald Trump and of course, the ever-rising concerns about this effort to turn Texas blue, has Smith County Young Republicans grown in recent years?
I will say we've definitely seen a lot of increase in the last several months since Charlie Kirk's death.
Sure.
But even before that, I mean, I think it was a month before that, we had our board game night with the Young Democrats and had good conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Even even if we're not necessarily on the same page about everything politically, I just want to see people getting involved.
Well, that's actually really, really encouraging to hear, this, you know, sort of cross-pollination engagement between the young Republicans and young Democrats. We see so much polarization on the national level. And if we watch the national news media, particularly the TV media, we would think that we literally are divided down the middle into two camps that's, you know, never the twain shall meet.
Yes.
Obviously not the case at the local level.
No, I mean, you know, we all agree that what we want is to make Smith County better. Mm-hmm. We just disagree on how to get there. You know, I try, one of the things that I really try to put forward in our club is, you know, making sure that everybody sees the human side of it. No one is completely evil. No one's completely perfect. We're just all doing our best.
Gotcha. Well, on that note, let's sort of talk about the GOP at large here. What do you think the chances are of the Republicans, again, at that national level, holding on to one or both houses of Congress in the fall?
Well, so just 2 weeks ago, I was actually attending the Republican Party of Texas convention. And I mean, people are fired up. I think that a lot of people are really getting out there and making their opinions heard. So I think that that's really going to be what makes the difference either way.
Gotcha. Now, this, again, we mentioned earlier, this effort, sort of ongoing efforts now for decades to turn Texas blue. A lot of people that are younger today may not know that Texas historically was Democrat for the majority of its time. In fact, Louis Gohmert was the first Republican congressman elected from Texas since Reconstruction.
Yeah.
And now, of course, you know, Nathaniel Moran has followed in his footsteps. But again, there's a lot of effort into turning Texas blue. Do you think that could happen in the near future?
I think that there's a lot of people who are very loud on that side, but I don't necessarily think that means that there's a lot of agreement with every position. I think more people would side conservative if they, you know, compared both parties, looked at everything, but it's so hard to hear when there's so much noise coming from both sides, especially on social media.
I was going to ask, do you think that social media, a lot of people do, you know, believe that social media has played a huge role in that? What's your take?
I think it has changed a lot, and if anything, it's probably what's pushing my generation away from politics at all, because it feels like every time you open up your social media, the world is ending, climate change is going to ruin us all, and everything is your fault. And, you know, why even bother trying
Chicken
at that
Little
point?
Would be proud, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and you know, there is so much noise, and you bring up a good point, because obviously social media is a big deal and has been for the last probably 10 years. But even before that, thanks to CNN and you know, the other networks that sort of followed, not to mention the online stuff, we have a 24-hour news cycle, and it seems, obviously, we know that the classic phrase, if it bleeds, it leads. Bad news sells. It grabs more attention. We're inundated with bad news because they want to keep the lights on at these networks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just constant, and it can be completely overwhelming.
Well, now, back to something a little more core here. Let's look at sort of the core values here. If someone were to ask you to explain the core values of the Republican Party at large, or conservatism in specific, what would you say?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is going to be small government, personal accountability and responsibility, but that also means personal freedom. And I think that is the biggest thing that the Republican side offers is, you know, we're not necessarily talking about fixing every problem because nobody can, but giving people the tools that they need to take care of things, and if things fall down, you have responsibility for that,
sure,
but you have the chance to do something greater.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, we have talked in here before about we in the Republican Party tend to favor a real focus on not just getting to the result we want, but mm-hmm. doing it by the correct process.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, again, that political climate today. Social media, of course,
yeah.
being a big deal. The 24-hour news cycle we mentioned. Has Donald Trump, on balance, do you think he's hurt or helped the GOP, specifically among young people?
You know, I wasn't sure about him at first. I will admit, I was skeptical when he joined. But I think the biggest thing that has come out of these last several years has been people asking why. Mm-hmm. You know, just because we've always done things a certain way, why?
Yeah.
Why are we doing it that way? Why don't we change it? Why do some people not want to see change? And, you know, I mean, guy's not perfect, but he does disrupt a lot of established systems and make you question.
Sure, sure. Yeah, he's been a wrecking ball in some ways. And
yeah.
you know, the thing is, when you push that wrecking ball through the side of the building, you can see the inside now and see
yeah.
how it actually works.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe it's been 10 years now, the age of Trump.
Crazy.
I have a degree in history. When I was majoring in history, of course, I had to read this book. A famous historian named Arthur Schlesinger
mm-hmm.
Wrote a book called The Age of Jackson. And he took that title, it's of course about Andrew Jackson,
yeah.
his life, his presidency, and how disruptive he was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, still despised in many circles in
well,
the historical
yeah.
community. But one thing that you can definitely say is the title, The Age of Jackson, was well earned. It was actually used by someone else during his life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people were talking about, historians have talked about how Jackson, you know, Jacksonian democracy or mm-hmm. Jacksonian politics
yes.
or whatever, it was really formative and defining for that era. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're talking the 1820s and 30s. So fast forward, you know, for many, many decades later, and one could argue that Trump has had that same effect. He's been very disruptive. He has been very colorful, certainly.
Yes.
But he's been revelatory in some ways because,
yeah.
as you said, we've seen the way he sort of opened some things up, and we see now how things work on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
He's not afraid to get in there to mix it up and
yeah.
break with tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he reveals some things. We kind of go, yeah, I'm going to look at that a little closer now.
Yeah. I mean, things that people hadn't thought about before, or just, you know, we get so used to politicians having the same perspective because they've been in that for so long.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one example that comes to mind is the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around since, I remember when it first came into being. I was
yeah.
a kid. I had to do a report on it later on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here it is now. It's been, you know, nearly 50 years, and we haven't really questioned it for the longest time. All of a sudden, Donald Trump raises the questions and starts to take action.
Yeah.
Whether that will be completed or not, we'll see. But it's obvious that he's not afraid to question existing norms and all that kind of thing, which is
yeah,
nice.
I mean, you know, when you talk about tradition, well, it's only been 50 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
in the long run, that's really not tradition. And, you know, there are plenty of parents that are researching things like school choice because that system isn't working.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that the temporary income tax of 1913 has been around a lot longer.
So. A little bit.
Well, let me kind of go to something a little bit more, I guess, colorful.
Okay.
I want to get your perspective on this. So in this particular space and here on In Focus, we've been talking for weeks now about the semi-quincentennial,
mm-hmm.
The 250th
Don't birthday. Expect me to be able to say that.
That is it. I got to be honest, I had to practice that one a few times. I think I pulled it off. I've asked others this question in this room. Let me ask you, what is your favorite thing that America has given the world?
I mean, before America, before the Constitution in 1787, nothing quite like this had ever been done.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that 13 colonies in the middle of nowhere, as far as Europe was concerned, were trying something totally different. We're a democratic republic, mm-hmm. and it's unique and has made a lot of difference. I mean, you know, the founders called it an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are 250 years later, and the experiment, again, 250 years doesn't mean that much compared to some other countries. I mean, you know, if you go to England, they've got colleges older than us.
Sure, sure.
But we have been doing something unique, and we've been spreading that across the world. Other people see what we're doing and try to be a little bit more like that.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that we took a chance on doing something so different.
Yeah. We are the first country ever to create its government based upon theory and ideas rather than inherit a government or simply revolt against an old one and put it in place. We literally designed our government from the ground up based upon existing political theories and some new ideas. So, and very well-reasoned ideas. And we put it all together.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it wasn't necessarily politicians. I mean, at the time, a lot of the founding fathers were farmers, former army generals. They came out of their normal lives and said, okay, what do we need to do to actually make this work?
Yeah, yeah. Now, folks, we are. This is In Focus. Jeff Rourke here, and we're talking with Laurel Maynard. She's the president of Smith County Young Republicans, and we're glad to have her in studio this morning. So, let's talk about kind of just some general stuff. We were talking about the idea of America, what we are fondest of that America has given the world. Obviously, this week we're seeing the last couple of weeks we're seeing with the World Cup in town, so to speak. We're seeing lots of videos online of people from other parts of the world coming in, and they're utterly shocked by the size of our land, the size of our cities, how spread out everything is. Shocked by the size of the food portions.
My personal favorites are the ones where they go in Buc-ee's and have absolutely no idea what to expect.
Yeah, and it's funny. We see people coming out and saying, America is not at all what I've been told. It's way better. What do you think?
I think America does have a lot going for it. I mean, I can understand how we are viewed by the rest of the world, especially when our own media tries to make it look like we're not doing everything we should. And again, we're not perfect, but, you know, people come here for a reason. It's because we have a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of things that the rest of the world wouldn't even consider. You know, has anybody else ever thought of putting 2 pounds of beef on a hamburger? Probably not.
The Trump burger in Bell, Texas.
Exactly.
There you go. Or Belleville, I should say. What I'm wondering is if the folks that are here for the World Cup, I wonder if they're going to take back with them these positive perspectives on America, and if that will redound to our benefit in the coming months or years.
I mean, I certainly hope so. It is hard to push back against the consistent narrative that, you know, our history isn't perfect and we're not doing everything we could be doing and how, you know, I mean, yeah, when our own media is constantly putting us down, it's hard to work against that.
You know, you said that the fact that we're not perfect, and, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, the document that we're celebrating with our 250th is the Declaration. That's generally considered to be the birthday of America.
Yeah.
That's the why, as we talked about here on KTBB a couple of times. The how, of course, was the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it was not perfect. But the great thing about it was it contained a first aid kit within itself. It contained within itself the means to fix the problems that would arise.
And, you know, I mean, I'm a former speech and debate kid, so my main thing was always when somebody proposed a plan that the government should do XYZ, I'd pull out a constitution and say, hey, Article 1, Section 8 says here's the things the government is allowed to do. Notice how small this list is.
Yes.
The rest is supposed to be left up to the states, the locals, individuals. I mean,
yeah, noticeably absent from that, healthcare.
Yeah.
Savings for retirement, college loans.
Yeah.
Lots of things, you know, endowments for the arts. That's not really government's province. So it's amazing how much our government has expanded in the last century and a quarter or so.
Yep.
That's maybe a debate for another day.
Yeah.
Well, listen, tell me one more time about the event that you have coming up on July the 11th. It is called?
So we are doing the America 250 Birthday Bash.
nice. And this is July the 11th.
Yes.
And it's going to be at the W.T. Brookshire Center?
Yes, sir. Okay. From 12 to 4.
All right. And you mentioned earlier you're going to have some live bands and what else?
Yeah, we're going to have live music. We're going to have food trucks, displays from local organizations like Smith County Historical Society, the East Texas Minority Coalition. And then we're going to have food trucks and historical actors, and we're going to throw a party that I think is worth 250 years.
Gotcha.
And of course, what's a birthday party without cake?
Oh, I'm hoping we're going to have a really big cake at this thing.
Yes, that's the plan.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, and definitely the kind of celebration that is warranted on this occasion. 250 years, kind of astonishing when you think about it. I mean, we, at the time that our nation was founded, obviously, even aerial flight was limited to some balloon experiments mm-hmm. at that time. I know John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were witness to one of those when they were overseas in Europe. You know, we were, most people, I think 87% of the people that lived in the colonies at the time mm-hmm. of the Revolution were farmers.
Yeah.
Very few people lived in the cities. Today, it's what, 3.5%, 4% of Americans are farmers?
Yeah, it's a very different landscape than it was.
Most everything was powered by horses. Mm-hmm. Light was candles or oil lamps. You know, sending a message meant actually moving, either sending a letter that moved or going and moving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about in the 250 years that we've been here, I mean, really the first 200 years, in that amount of time, we went from horse-drawn everything or two-footed power to going to the moon.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we carry in our pockets more technology on our iPhones than the computing technology that put those men on the moon.
Yeah.
You know, it's astonishing what we've been able to accomplish during that time.
And, you know, so much of that was American innovation. I mean, people that had the freedom and the wherewithal to come up with all these ideas. I mean, you know, necessity requires invention, and, you know, horse-drawn carriages work when you're in, you know, somewhere small, but that's not going to work when you got to get halfway across Texas.
Yeah, or for that matter, even today, if you live in East Dallas and work in Fort Worth, forget it. That's a week-long journey.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, talking about your organization, again, we're talking to Laurel Maynard, president of Smith County Young Republicans. So, Laurel, talking about the idea of the young Republican or the young voter in particular, just mm-hmm. I should say in general, do young people today understand the impetus? You mentioned necessity being the mother of invention, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do young people today understand all that's required to create, to invent, to innovate? Do they understand the sacrifice, the capital, the fact that we won't get these things with socialism?
You know, I think more people are starting to get to that point of seeing how much it takes. I mean, you know, we hear about all of these startups every few months there's some new company that's going to break how the world works, and then peters out.
Yeah.
Doesn't work out the way it's supposed to, or we're told, you know, oh, somebody started out of their garage in the 80s, and, you know, I can't afford a garage.
Well, you know, in the last several days, we've seen this explosion of socialism. I mean, obviously, that's been going on for some time now. I mean, really, at the beginning of the 20th century was populated mm-hmm. with a lot of organizations that were socialist. Obviously, falling on the heels of the mid-19th century with, you know, Das Kapital and Marxism and all that. But we've seen here among young people in the last 20 years just, again, an explosion of affection for this vacuous socialist model. And then the success in New York this week of three major socialist candidates falling on the heels of a socialist mm-hmm. mayor getting elected. Obviously, I don't expect that to come to Texas anytime soon.
But, I hope not.
Do you think that are we in danger of losing young people to that idea?
I think that what's going on in New York might be what we need to see that it doesn't. I mean, yes, capitalism isn't perfect. Current government isn't perfect. But that isn't the answer. It's never worked before, and I highly doubt it's going to work now. It might, maybe we need to see somebody trying and falling to know that it's not that, you know, nobody has done it quite right and it would have worked if they just did this, but you're counting on a lot of things that I just don't think humans are going to necessarily be capable of. Yeah. I mean, if you expect everybody to take responsibility but no one gets the benefits, we don't really do that well.
You know, we experimented with that here in our own country, in our colonies. In Jamestown, of course, great example.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried a communal model, and it did not work. They almost starved to death until they basically said, if you don't work, you don't eat.
I mean, you know, and theoretically, on a small scale, maybe it could work if everybody really buys into it. But on a large scale, when we're talking about a lot of people, I just don't think it's going to, I don't think it's going to turn out well for New York. I think that people are going to see, oh, yeah, remember why we didn't want to do this before? It still doesn't work.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately socialists and communists and all the various places on that scale, they ultimately come in and they take over societies that were built by capitalists.
Yeah.
There's never been a country founded literally from the beginning on new shores by socialists that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to me to see this idea taking root. And you mentioned before, this is not going to work with humans. The thing that they always leave out is human nature.
And
they love to tell us that, well, it's never worked because nobody's ever done it the right way or fully implemented it. Well, the problem is even the utopian models don't take into account human nature.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be people. They're going to be greedy or rude or just not do their part.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to just acknowledge that it would be nice if everybody got along and did what they're supposed to. Just doesn't work like that.
Well, let me ask you here real quickly, kind of as we head toward a wrap-up.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, I have a degree in history. I love history.
Yep.
I have some favorite Americans throughout history. Who is your favorite American?
Oh, come on. You're good.
That's a big, broad question.
That's a big one.
Anywhere from today all the way back to the founding or before, does someone stand out to you as being sort of a model American?
I can't pick a favorite. I think that there are a lot of figures in history that have done great things. I think the main thing that I look at when I'm looking at figures from history is what was their intentions? Were they trying to make things better? And did it work? Did it make a difference? Really does change how you see things.
Yeah. Now, as we're closing out here, a new survey number shows that only 41% of Gen Z is proud to be an American.
Yeah.
Those surveyed. I'm assuming you are proud to be American.
Well, and I did have a different upbringing than a lot of people my age. I mean, I went to a conservative school. I was raised by very Republican parents. I can definitely see why there's not that same sense of pride in a lot of people my age when you're told practically from the moment you start school that everything you do is your fault and being American is bad and how dare you exist. You know, I understand where that comes from, but I think that it's coming from a place that doesn't really take into account how different this is from anything before.
Yeah. And again, we're celebrating 250 years of it. Tell me one more time about your event. It's coming up on July 11th at the W.T. Brookshire Center. It's called?
The America 250 Birthday Bash.
All right. And now how can folks get in touch with you to find out more or to support Young Republicans?
So yeah, definitely go to our Facebook event online and register for the event. Let us know you're coming because that helps us plan. And then, connect with us on Instagram, Facebook. You know, we try and show up at other local organizations. You know, we really want to make sure that people know that, you know, we're out there. There are young people that are trying to make a difference and want to be involved. And sometimes we just need a little push.
Gotcha. Folks, she is Laurel Maynard, president of the Smith County Young Republicans. I'm Jeff Rourke. This is In Focus. We appreciate you joining us. Catch you again next time.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.